following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the first part in a series. We're going to do something pretty significant, pretty specific right now. We've been exploring what it means to be a part of the church, how the church, you don't get a cookie. You put the basket on the bench. That's not for you. Thank you for your help. I have a feeling he snuck one in somewhere. And so we've been talking about what it means to be a member of a church, a part of a church. We've talked a little bit off and on about the body of Christ, what it means to be a part of the body, fulfilling our role. And there was even one Sunday where we talked about spiritual gifts. Let me just say, if you haven't taken the spiritual gifts survey yet, if you have a way to print this out at home, you can go to Lifeway, to their website, and it has a spiritual gifts assessment. You can print one out on your own. I highly encourage that you do this to find out a little bit more about how God has gifted you, the direction he's gifted you in, and how you can begin developing and implementing that spiritual gift. If you don't have a way of printing one of these out, let me or Joycelyn know when you leave today. We'll get you one printed out as soon as we can. You can have this one if you need it. I've got plenty more where this came from. But we're going to talk over the next few weeks about what is my part. Maybe you don't know that God has prepared you, equipped you, given you gifts and talents to serve here in a local body or wherever you may serve at, wherever you're a member of a church at. Maybe you're not a member of a church yet. What does that mean? That just means that you have committed to serve and grow and place your family in one place and grow with that congregation. We're not just a church here. We're a family, by the way. This isn't just an organization, it's an organism. It's growing, it's multiplying, and our job now is to do the best that we can together to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to our community. So part one of what's my part, we're going to talk about for the benefit of the body. We're going to mention a few spiritual gifts this morning, but we're going to get into defining what those spiritual gifts are probably starting next week. To benefit the body, why does God give us spiritual gifts? What are they for? How can they be implemented in the body of Christ? How do I know what my spiritual gift is? How can I find out what my spiritual gift is? And then once I do find out what it is, how do I put it to use? Those are some of the questions that I want to answer over the next few weeks. And the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about the body of Christ and about spiritual gifts. So let's all stand as we read. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 this morning. We'll probably read the remaining of this chapter next week as we get into the body and what it's all about, how it can be utilized. So the Apostle Paul has this to say. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." There it is right there. Highlight it. Put a star by it. Your spiritual gift is not just for your glorification. It is for the edification of the body of Christ. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Father God, we thank You so much that You've given us this life that we have together, Lord. And Lord, I can just sense that You're up to something special here at First Baptist Church. We see Your Holy Spirit moving. We see people's lives being changed. We see transformation taking place. We see growth happening. And Lord, it's not anything that any one of us have done. It's not anything that I've done. But it is through Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that You're working in this place, Lord. As we continue to pray for people to come in, to find new life in Jesus Christ, to find a part in their body of Christ, I just pray that You'll help us to be unified in every way, shape, and form. Lord, for each and every person here, I pray that they would make it a point to discover what their spiritual gift is, what You bless them with, and then they would too put it to use here in the body of Christ for the profit of the body. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You as their personal Lord Savior, if they've never experienced Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace, I pray that today would be the day that they would join the family of God, they would trust in Christ, and their lives would be radically changed. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the church at Corinth was a very unique church, probably some of the longest letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. We have it in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Most people believe that it was written as A, B, and C, three different parts. It was letters that were sent back and forth. Paul would respond to some problems that they were having. There were some deep issues here at the church of Corinth. And so he mentions this by saying that you were Gentiles, and then at one time you followed after dumb idols. So they come from a deep pagan background. And so Paul deals with some very specific things with this church. Of the spiritual gifts, when you see them all listed, most list around 15 or 16 different spiritual gifts, but here Paul deals with only 9. So these must have been the only spiritual gifts that this church was really having issues dealing with and clarifying exactly what they were. But as we explore this passage, there are several things that I want to point out. Number one, he says, concerning spiritual gifts. So there are several things that Paul says this about. I don't want you to be ignorant about this particular topic. And in his letters to various churches, Paul had 4 things that he wanted to be perfectly clear on. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant on these things. Here was the first thing that he wanted them to be perfectly clear on. Romans chapter 11, verse 23. He wanted them to be clear that God had a heart for Israel and how the Gentiles had been grafted in with the Israelites and their heritage. He didn't want them to be ignorant of that. He wanted them to know that the gospel was for all people, not for just elect few, but for everyone, even the Gentiles. The second thing that he didn't want people to be ignorant of, he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the coming of the Lord. The rapture of the church was one thing that he wanted them to be perfectly clear on. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we see the third thing that Paul didn't want his readers to be ignorant about. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about Satan's devices. He wanted them to understand that Satan had plans, he had schemes, and he had strategies to trip up not only individuals, but the church of Jesus Christ. He says, these three things, the gospel is for everyone. I want you to understand that Jesus is coming back soon. And I want you to understand that you have an enemy that is plotting against you each and every day of your life. And the fourth thing that he wanted them to be perfectly clear on is right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you want to see where all of the spiritual gifts are, they're not found just in this place. 1 Corinthians 12 is one place. Romans 12 is another place. Ephesians chapter 4 is another place, and Peter writes about just a very few spiritual gifts in his epistle. So why is it that Paul was speaking to this particular church in so much detail about the spiritual gifts? This church had come from a highly pagan background. Other issues that Paul dealt with in this church particularly was the matter of consuming idols that had been offered to pagan gods, sexual activity, and the misuse of the Lord's Supper. Those are some specific details that he dealt with this church in particular about. But one thing that we want to see here in verses 1 through 3 is this. I think this is the warning that Paul gives us by mentioning that they come from a Gentile background, that they were carried away by dumb idols at some point in time. I think the Apostle Paul, if he were to talk to us today, he would say this: don't be misled by false religions. Don't be misled by false religions. Paul wanted them to understand that there were some who were trying to obtain what only can be given to them by the Holy Spirit of God. They saw the miracles that the apostles were doing, and they were envious of them. They were saying, if we can just imitate that, maybe we can persuade some people to believe what we're teaching. And Paul states specifically that they were Gentiles who followed after pagan practices. But now that they are followers of Christ, they have been given something that no one else can obtain. Let me just say this. When we're talking about spiritual gifts, if you're not born again, you'll never understand it and you'll never receive it. They're called spiritual gifts for a reason, because someone who has been born again of the Spirit of God is the only ones that can receive it. Here's what I want you to get out of this part. There is a distinct difference between talents and spiritual gifts. Unbelievers have talents. There are many athletes today who are gifted. They are talented, but they don't know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. Many people know how to play a musical instrument, but guess what? They're not born again. They haven't been blessed. They haven't been given that gift by the Lord. When God saves you, he gives you certain things that you can do, and they are for the benefit of the body of Christ. They're not for you to get any glory out of. A talent can also be developed naturally, but a spiritual gift is obtained and developed supernaturally. Be very, very cautious of this. Be very, very cautious of a person who wants to be the center of attention. When someone does something and they say, look what I can do, more than likely they're not using a spiritual gift. Someone who's using a spiritual gift will say, look what God can do through me. It's not me that's doing this. I couldn't do this on my own. Spiritual gifts are not for personal gain or glorification. Spiritual gifts are specifically for the edification of the body of Christ. And anything other than that is a false religion and carries with it the spirit of Antichrist. Look, here's the thing about it. The Antichrist is not something that's just going to happen after the rapture. It's not going to be something that happens during the tribulation. The spirit of Antichrist is already here, present in our culture today, and there are many, many false religions that seek self-glorification. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, and 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, says that many antichrists have already come. That was written 2,000 years ago. And many false prophets have gone out into the world. They're already here. They're working. They're trying to duplicate the works of God, but they can't do it. The Holy Spirit is given to you when you become born again. When your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to you as a stamp of approval and a guarantee and something that seals you until the day of redemption. But God doesn't seal you to set you up on a shelf to gather dust and just to watch what was going on. Christianity is not a spectator sport. God has equipped you, he's blessed you, and he's gifted you to do certain things in the body of Christ. Jesus tells the parable of the talents. A master had several servants, and to each one of them he trusted a certain amount of money. That was actually called talents, a measure of money. One of them went away, he invested it, he made it grow, he multiplied his master's money. The second one did the same thing, but the third one went away and he buried his. And he said, look, I placed it in a place where it would be safe. It hasn't grown, but what you have given me, I give back to you. He said, you wicked, slothful, and lazy servant. You didn't put to good use what I invested in you, what I entrusted you with. And some of you here today, you have yet to find out what your place is here in the body of Christ. But there are many false religions out in our world today that will teach something other than glorifying God through the use of what he has blessed you with. Here's the other thing that we see in verses 4-7. Spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of the whole body. We're going to talk more about individual parts of the body next week. But the word here in the original Greek language is very, very interesting. The word gift here is the word charisma, and it means a gracious gift. And the whole list of spiritual gifts is not found right here in this one place. As I mentioned earlier, perhaps Paul was dealing with certain issues, and these are the only ones that he listed here because he was dealing with these specifically in this church. The three letters that Paul listed, the spiritual gifts, he's not the only New Testament writer that writes about them. But here, look at what we see in verses 4-7. He lists these spiritual gifts. It goes further than verse 7, but he says there's a gift of wisdom, there's a gift of knowledge, there's a gift of faith, a gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, when you see wisdom and knowledge listed differently as spiritual gifts, have you ever seen somebody who had a lot of wisdom but they didn't have much knowledge? Have you ever seen somebody who had a lot of knowledge but they didn't have what we would call horse sense? I think that's what it's referring to here. But these spiritual gifts, a few of them are listed here and many of them are listed in different places. Romans chapter 12 echoes the same thing. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, showing mercy. In Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. But verse 7 here for this part, understanding that spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of the whole body, verse 7 is the key to unlocking this whole thing. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. And when he lists the spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, he echoes the very same thing. In Romans 12, 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And it's very interesting the word that he uses here, prophet, in the original Greek language is the word sempero. It's where we get our word symphony from. Just like a conductor. Have you ever been to an orchestra or heard one on TV? Before the production begins, before they start playing the music that they are supposed to be playing, they're all tuning up their instruments. It's just a loud, loud, loud racket. Man, it sounds like a bunch of noise. It doesn't sound like they know what they're doing, but they're tuning their instruments. They're getting ready. And that conductor will come up, and what'll he do? He'll tap his little stick, and boy, they all come up, and then it all comes together, and you get this beautiful sound. It's a symphony of music that comes forth from what they play. Because one person is directing each and every person. They're playing a trumpet over here. They're playing a flute over here. They're playing a drum back there. Maybe a baritone back here. Maybe a tuba back here. Each one of them is putting their different gifts and talents to work. And that conductor, when he strikes it up, he brings it all together. And the music that they produce is just a soothing sound. It's a joyful sound. It's a sound that could not be made any other way unless somebody was conducting them. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, God's Holy Spirit is working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. And if we didn't have that one Spirit directing us, guess what? We'd all be going in different directions. Possibly even we would be working against each other. It would not be a symphony working together. But the Holy Spirit says, hey, look, here's our goal. I want you to work together to make sure that everybody knows that Jesus died for their sins. The kingdom of God is what we are to promote. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message that we are going to teach. So I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you the ability to make sound decisions. I'm going to give you knowledge. You're going to know how to fix things, how to direct things. I'm going to give you the gift of administration. You're going to learn how to organize everything. If you would see my desk, you would know that my gift is not administration. I do not have organization skills, but I can put a calendar together. I can see when we need to do certain things. Each and every one of you, God has blessed with a certain gift that probably nobody else here could do. But the main point is are you putting it to use for the profit of the whole body? Are you effectively using what God has blessed you with to make sure that this body is whole, it's growing, it's multiplying, it's reaching out in this community like it should? Spiritual gifts were given for the benefit of the whole body, not just one little part, not just one individual person. The next very, very interesting word that he used here is this manifestation. Peter uses the word manifold when he describes what God has blessed us with. So here's the deal. Point number three, within a Christ-honoring church, spiritual gifts are manifold. What is a manifold? A manifold is something that evenly distributes everything, but it all comes together to accomplish the same goal. Whether or not you know it, when you turn the key on in that car of yours, you have a combustion engine. It has several different cylinders that it will fire. Each one of them has exhaust of its own. It goes to an exhaust manifold to where all of the exhaust from that engine comes together and goes out through a catalytic converter, cleans it up a little bit, and it goes out through the same tailpipe. That's what a manifold is. All of our gifts are to come together at some point, and they are to be focused in one direction to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not working independently, not working counterproductively, but for the good of the common purpose. There's a saying that you're going to hear over and over and over again, is that we have unity through diversity. Kind of sounds like an oxymoron, don't it? But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He said, but there is one and the same Spirit working all of these things, but he's also distributing to each one individually as he wills. Here's the thing. When you became a believer, when you submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, what you did is you signed a blank check. You said, God, I am submitting to your will. I'm submitting to your way. Use me as you want to here in the body of Christ. And anything you do other than what God has blessed you with and gifted you with is going to be counterproductive to what's going on here. That's why I encourage you, find out what your spiritual gift is. We're going to explore these spiritual gifts one by one and look at them very, very closely. But the worst thing that we could possibly have right now is a dysfunctional body. That means one person is struggling, they're limping along, we're having to focus our attention on them to help grow them. The stronger each part is, the stronger the body is going to be. It's a very, very interesting list that the Apostle Paul places here, giving to the church at Corinth. Wisdom, knowledge, faith. You might say, well, I needed to have faith to trust in Jesus Christ. This is a different kind of faith. You've got to have that optimist that says, you know, I don't just know that God can, but I know that God will do what we set our minds to doing. Healings by the same Spirit, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits. And the one that we get into that is probably the most debated today is the different tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Notice you've got to have those two together. And there is no spiritual gift that the Apostle Paul taught more specifically on than the speaking in tongues. The word tongue there in the original Greek language is the word glossa. It's where we get our word glossary from. But it is a different language. And so God will bless some people to speak. And we know that the apostles were doing this on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them. There were many people there in the city of Jerusalem, and the apostles began speaking in languages that they could understand. But remember, God's not going to give you the gift of tongues and allow you to start speaking some gibberish that no one else can understand, and it doesn't benefit anyone else. Because according to what we see here in verse 7, he says what? He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And just a few pages over in chapter 14, the Apostle Paul actually says if you're all speaking in tongues and you don't have an interpreter, and a visitor comes in and he experiences you speaking in tongues, he's going to think you've all lost your mind. He's going to think you're crazy. Just remember this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's also not given us a spirit of confusion. Confusion is not of God. God gives us the power of a sound mind, and he's not the author of confusion and chaos. So as we get into these, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch what you do with it, to see how you do on this spiritual gift survey. Some of you have already taken it. If you come to me, let me know what your spiritual gift is. I've taken it several times. And let me just say this. The more you grow in your faith, the more you follow Jesus, the more you study your Bible, the more you submit to him, that spiritual gift may change a little bit one way or the other. But this is a pretty accurate test. If you'll answer it honestly, that's the key. But I want to encourage you to find your part in the body of Christ. And I want you to find a way that you can benefit the body here at First Baptist Church. God may be calling you into some type of ministry. He may be calling you into the mission field. Some of you here today, he may be calling to make a salvation decision. I don't know where you stand in your relationship to the Lord. I can't just automatically assume that everybody has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I can't just automatically assume that everyone has made a public profession of faith. But in just a moment, these altars are going to be open. If that's a decision that you need to make, I'll be here to pray with you. John Logan will be here to pray with you. But here's something that I've been through recently in my life, and this is why the topic of the body and the function of the body is kind of hit so close to home for me. I can see what a healthy body looks like. A healthy body is walking, talking, is functioning properly. We went through an experience with my mom over the past few years. And as I watched, there were different parts of her body that quit functioning the way that they should. And the more dysfunctional her body became, the more difficult it was for her to get around on her own. Her mind started slipping. Her thinking wasn't right. And as that started happening, different parts of her body wouldn't function the way that it should. She couldn't even hardly tell. You could tell that her mind wasn't able to tell which foot it was to take a step or how to take a step. The worst thing that we could do as a church is to let one body suffer and struggle over here without being developed and being healthy and being part of the body. And the worst thing that we could absolutely do is let one part of the body completely separate itself from the rest of the body. Any member that gets separated from the body will eventually cease to exist. The life will be taken out of it, and then the body will be left, not as a whole, but in part, struggling to do what it was created to do. And that's kind of what I watched as my mom continued to go through what she was going through. Each and every day we would notice something a little bit different that would quit working. Her body just didn't function the way that it should. And it was a struggle for her to understand what was going on. It was heartbreaking for us to watch. So here's the picture that I get out of this. What does Jesus see when he looks at our body right now? I'm talking about our congregation here at First Baptist Church. Does he see a body that's healthy, is growing, is thriving? Each member is serving. Each member is functioning. Each member is closely attached to accomplish the goal that he set us here to do. We've come a long way in the past 4 years. We've got a long way to go. We still have a lot to do, but I think we're headed in the right direction. I think the Lord has blessed us with people who have talents and gifts that they are learning how to utilize. Let me just say this. Apart from your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two other things that you need to experience in your Christian walk. No other joy will surpass you leading another person to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you get to experience that at some point in time. The next greatest experience you'll have in your walk with the Lord is discovering what your spiritual gift is and putting it to use. God has blessed you to do something in His body. He has placed you here for a reason. And me as a pastor, my job is to help you find out what that is. We have Sunday school teachers. Hey, I know that they've been given the gift of teaching. I watch what they do in their class. I hear what they do in their class. I hear the laughter that's coming. I see the people that are in their class continuing to grow and walk in their faith. Maybe the Lord is calling you to do something like that. I just don't know what it is. But maybe you need to begin on that journey today. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, God, search my heart and help me to find what my part in the body is. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Does the Spirit of the living God live within you? Is there evidence that you have trusted in Jesus Christ with your life? Do you know for sure that when you die, where you'll spend eternity at? Maybe you've never made a public profession of faith. Maybe you're one here that has the mindset of thinking, I've always been a Christian. Let me just say this, nothing could be further from the truth. When you were born with a sin nature. You were born with your back to God. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Most of us here remember when our physical birthday was. But is there a time in your life when you can remember having a spiritual birthday? A change in your life that is so radical that it can only be described as being born again. And have you made a public profession of faith? Here's the thing. Jesus never called anyone in private. He always called people publicly. Jesus himself said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ with your life, it's so, so simple. He says just to come with a childlike faith, just to trust him, turn your life over to him and let him do the rest. My hope and my prayer is that is a decision that you would make today if you've never made one before. And it all begins with just opening your heart up and talking to him, having a conversation with him. You might want to say something like this, just quietly there in your heart and in your mind. You might want to say, God, I know that my life is not where it needs to be. I know that I've sinned against you. And I know that my life right now is not pleasing to you. And I want that to change. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and rose again, and he's come back one day. And I also believe that he shed his blood for my sins. And right now I want Jesus as the Lord of my life. So Lord, I ask that you'll forgive me, make me a new person, save my soul from hell and give me a new direction in my life as I trust in you. If you said that prayer and you really meant it, in just a moment when the music begins, I would challenge you to get up out of your seat, walk down that aisle, grab me or John Logan by the hand, and just let us know about it. And we'll tell you what you need to do to follow up on that, where you need to go from here. Maybe you're here today and you do know for sure that you're a child of God. You do know for sure that your sins have been forgiven and that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But what are you doing with your life to serve Him? Do you know for sure what your spiritual gift is? Maybe you need to come to this altar and just ask Him to use you in whatever way possible. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me and prepare me for what lies ahead. Father God, we thank you for this day and for all you're doing. We turn this invitation over to you. Lord, as you've been doing here in the past few weeks and months, Lord God, we ask once again that your Holy Spirit would move, that it would stir hearts and stir minds, and that you would give people the boldness, Lord God, to respond to what they've heard, to commit their life to you, and to serve you with what you bless them with. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.